Welcome to Dreadful Digest, where we look at your favorite horror novels and rip apart their adaptations. I'm one of your hosts, Tessa Nelson.
I'm Sam.
And today we are looking at the brand new sequel in the I Know What You Did Last Summer franchise called I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Is it brand new at the point that this is airing?
This will be 2 weeks after it's out. But in terms of when we're recording, we both watched it yesterday.
That's true.
It technically came out yesterday.
No, let's say it came out today and we went to the early... Yeah. We went to a premiere.
That's accurate.
Let's go with that.
Yep. So if you haven't seen our last episode, we covered the 1997 movie and the original book. In this episode, we're going to kind of follow how we did the Candyman sequel. We're basically going to point out some of the references and things from the original film and the original book. But since it's not like a direct reboot or spinoff of the book, we can't really do a shot-by-shot comparison. But Sam, what is your non-spoiler review of this movie?
Mandor Handhook. I'm just kidding. that'd be crazy. What is my non-spoiler review of this movie? This movie is kind of like, what if you took all the things about I Know What You Did Last Summer and didn't film them? In my opinion.
Didn't film them?
And you filmed a different movie. That's what I think. I mean, that's not completely true, obviously. I do feel like this is the kind of movie, as some horror franchise reboots do, where they kind of take the iconic pieces that you remember. Like, you know, I mean, I remember, like, for Halloween, it's like, what do you remember about Halloween? Okay, you remember Babysitters. Uh-huh. So we're gonna, you know, you pull those key pieces
Jamie
out.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, you remember Jamie Lee Curtis, so bring back Jamie Lee Curtis. And in a similar way, what do you remember about I Know What You Did Last Summer? Oh, well, you remember this guy in a slicker and a fish hook murdering a bunch of teenagers. And you remember a car crash, and you remember... Summer and Notes. Okay, yeah. Let's make a movie from that. And that's what the 2025 version is.
All those things, yeah.
Yes, it has all of those things you remember, but mm-hmm. not necessarily the story.
The convoluted story.
Their convoluted story or the 1997?
The 1997 one.
Yeah, it's true.
A little bit all over the place, as we talked about last time.
That's true.
Yeah. When I was watching this movie, I leaned over to my friend and I was like, the only excuse you can have with ghosting someone is by literally getting killed. That's kind of...
What? Wait, is that something in the movie?
Ava thinks that Milo is ghosting her.
Oh, and he's actually... Well, major spoiler, and he's dead, yeah.
Every time I say I'm major not going to spoil something, I then proceed to spoil.
Yeah, let's do the non-spoiler review section.
Had to explain the joke. But, I don't know.
That's it. That's the section. This is a non-spoiler review.
What to say? It very much... Do I blame the Halloween franchise for doing this whole thing where you have a sequel, but it's the same title of the original? Was Halloween the first one to do
that? Can't be. What about Texas Chainsaw? Or is Halloween first?
So Texas Chainsaw has a bunch of different timelines.
That's true.
And... there's a bunch of, like, there's the remakes, and that has the same exact name.
Oh, but it's a remake.
Oh, but there was a Texas Chainsaw movie that was a direct sequel, but that came out after Halloween and all that.
Okay, so Halloween would be the first.
I feel like Halloween was the first. But I'm just kind of over it. I think this is the final movie, the nail in the coffin of this kind of era of, like, Scream and Halloween, at least... I hope.
This is a genuine question. Who do you think the target audience is for movies like this? Because I say this because I took someone who hadn't seen the original with me to see this movie, and he didn't know what was going on. But at the same time, they are inventing completely new characters and pretty much a new story. Like, is it meant for younger generations coming into it who aren't familiar with the 90s one? Or is it meant... And the same question applies to Halloween.
Oh, man. I feel like Halloween is more simple of a plot where you could jump in with the newer ones and be like, okay, big hulking guys killing people around town.
Right.
Easy to follow. Even if you don't know the history of Laurie Strode.
Right.
I think that's her name. But this and even Scream, I don't know, maybe I'm misremembering, but it doesn't feel like the second or the newer ones rely too heavily on that first one. Like, yeah, they bring back characters you remember, but it's like new kill. I don't know.
I don't know how to evaluate its effectiveness as whatever it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Without understanding that piece. And maybe that's indicative that it's not something that we should be investing in. But I am just curious, like, I think it's a mix of both, and that might be why these kinds of things sometimes fail.
Yeah, it's like it started off as new cast of characters, new, like, we accident takes place. Yeah. And then that's like the first third maybe, and then the rest of it really relies heavily on like, oh, you remember these characters, you remember this iconography. I think thankfully we had like the podcaster to like tell the characters what happened in the past one.
Are we basically Tyler? Like, yeah, what's her podcast? Live, Laugh, Slaughter. Yeah
we're basically her. Yeah, that's what I said in the first one, is like, this first movie should not have been made into a franchise. It's right. Especially with how it ends. It's just like, yeah, the main guy maybe lives, maybe doesn't, the killer. But with like how these characters, Julie and Ray, leave off, it's like, oh, they're not gonna tell anybody. But in this movie, the podcaster knows everything, even has the original notes, like, or like photos of them at least. Like, so it's right. Like, okay, so our main characters from the original one at some point from here to now, or from there to now, told the cops or told people about their experiences, because it became the massacre became like a whole thing in the town that they tried to cover up.
Right.
It's like the whole reason for bringing these older characters back doesn't make sense with how they leave off. And how does this podcaster know?
Don't you worry, folks. This is not the only thing that won't make sense in this movie. We've got much more for you in store.
Yeah. I guess I should go into the synopsis.
Yeah.
It's not going to be very long. It did just come out, and I'm a little all summered out. I'm summered out, so I could not do an in-depth synopsis. After five friends inadvertently kill a pedestrian in a car accident, familiar, they cover up their involvement to avoid consequences. A year later, they try to move on with their lives, but a stalker sends them taunting messages about their crime. Realizing that the stalker is imitating an iconic serial killer, they seek help from the two survivors of the Southport Massacre of 1997, Julie James and Ray Bronson. And that is the basic plot anyway. But even that, like, alone is like, okay, this is an iconic serial killer of, like, this town has, like, serial killer?
Right, but they successfully managed to eradicate any mention of this so that the real estate developer can build his successful empire.
Yeah.
Based on the idea that nobody knows about it.
But a podcaster does know. Right. And also, it's has a title. It's the Southport Massacre.
You know what, though? Actually, those two things don't necessarily have to be contradictory. It is possible that there's a famous murder in a town and a lot of the new residents don't know about it.
Well, I don't get why Julie and Ray decided
to stay.
No, Julie leaves. Ray stays. I don't get why who did they tell about their experiences? How did people know about this? That's my biggest issue. The way that Julie and Ray end off in the 1997 movie is that they promise that they're not going to say anything. The cops are literally like, why would this killer be after you? And they're like, I don't know.
The basic premise of this is that they will not.
Yeah, they won't break the pact.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet
somehow between then and now they have broken the pact.
And okay, I might be misremembering this, so, like, forgive me, listeners, and forgive me, Tessa, but this whole corrupt cop angle, I don't remember being a thing anywhere.
No.
And I feel like it relates to what you're talking about, because, like, why would there be a cover-up?
They made it
involving the police.
Yeah, they made it seem like these people were involved somehow, which, like, why?
Well, like, I understand if this real estate tycoon wants to, that's the right word, right? Real estate tycoon. Thank you. Like, I understand if he wants to cover up the history and, like, I don't know, buy positive press for the town. That makes sense to me. And maybe there's even reasons for him to cover it up, da-da-da-da-da. But, like, how did he get in cahoots with the... You know what? But maybe...
Buy off the cops? Maybe, like, in Jaws?
I was gonna say, like, I am talking myself into a way where this actually does make sense. But I didn't find it effective in the movie. But
because the kids are, like... Well, they're not kids. I guess they're young adults.
They are adults.
Yeah. They're, like... We can't tell the cops because they're going to, I don't know, they have like a conversation about not wanting to.
This is ironic, of course, because in the book, which we didn't talk about this in the last episode, in the book, one of the reasons they don't want to tell the cops that Barry is the one who hit the kid is because he's the only legal adult in the group. Or is that right?
Yeah, he just turned 18.
He's the only, and so he's like, I'll be tried as an adult. Like, they, you can't, even though I was the one driving, you can't send me to jail. They didn't want to lie about who did it, so they just wound up saying nothing. Obviously, in this version, they're all legal adults. And also, they don't murder anybody, technically.
Yes. Let's get into the research before we jump into that. You're good. You're good. That is a big difference, though. Yeah. And I was really surprised by it.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about the book, check out last episode. In this one, we're just going to be covering the 2025 film. So this is the fourth film in the I Know What You Did Last Summer franchise. It's set 27 years after the original. They call it the Tower Bay Massacre. I don't know what Tower Bay is. I'm going to be honest.
Wait, I thought it was Southport.
Yeah, and also in the Wikipedia, they also quoted the Tower Bay Massacre. And I feel like they mentioned that in the movie. But I don't know what Tower Bay is.
Maybe Tower Bay is like the bay. That all this is happening, you know, with the boats.
Maybe. I feel like they would have, would they not have mentioned it? And they.
Well, maybe they didn't. It's just not important.
Maybe
enough.
We just didn't notice it. Yeah,
exactly.
So the new story mirrors the classic with five friends covering up their involvement in a fatal car accident. Whoa. Yeah.
Five friends?
Well, in the original, it's four. Yeah. In the book and the.
It's not even five in the movie. Film. There just happens to be a fifth person, but he's not their friend.
She's kind of just there.
Oh, you're talking about the 2025?
The 2025 one, yeah.
Yeah, that's also five people, and that is weird.
Mm-hmm. So this is an American slasher film with Freddie Prinze Jr., Jennifer Love Hewitt, and spoiler alert, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Brandy reprising their roles.
How is that a spoiler?
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
I feel like that's not a spoiler.
I don't know.
It's not
maybe
like she does anything that affects the plot.
Well, people might not know that she was coming back.
Or that she was dead?
No, that she was reprising her role.
But why does it matter? Whatever.
Because there were fans of this movie, Sam, oh, believe it or not.
Sorry.
They might want to be surprised.
Okay, my bad.
Brandy, a big one, though. She is in the sequel... I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. She plays Julie's roommate. So maybe she's going to be in another one. Are they going to just, if they were to make a sequel, which I doubt it, would it be called I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
No. No, it would be, well, first of all, what would you have called this movie if it wasn't called the same title?
It feels wrong even calling it I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Right, because it's. It could, because in order to understand what's happening, you need to have seen I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. I don't know what to name it.
I'd call it Five People in Fishtown.
That's great. Sold. Greenlit.
Is that not what the movie? Oh. My demon flesh didn't like that. Okay.
So, this film is directed by Jennifer Caton Robinson, and she also directed Due Revenge.
Should I tell my story?
Out on Netflix. Go for it.
Okay, I was in Due Revenge. True story. I'm not credited anywhere, obviously. I was a background actor. But
were you not even in the credits?
No, it was central casting. They just have people. I was one of those people.
What?
Yeah.
I thought everybody works in a movie background. Has to... Oh,
no,
I didn't know
they'll
that
say
was
like background services, central casting.
Wow.
And so I'm a central casting person.
Wow. Okay.
I'd say this film or Due Revenge and Presumed Innocent. I was also in Presumed Innocent, although they actually cut any shot of me in Presumed Innocent. isn't. Like, right, Jake Gyllenhaal's like walking up the steps.
You saw Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, and I'm like next to him, and they cut right when he's walking up the steps. Oh,
they Mike Wazowski'd you.
Mike Wazowski'd me. In Dune Revenge, though, you can fully see me. I'm in the party scene.
Check it out.
Yeah,
check it out. Can you leave comments on Netflix movies? They should. No. That would be a fun feature. They should be
there's no way they would do that. Because then there'd be too many people commenting on.
Yeah.
And I'll end the sentence there.
So the screenplay was also done by Jennifer Caton Robinson and Sam Lansky. Story development credits were also given to Leia McKendrick. So Robinson pitched a direct sequel for this actually in 2022, gaining support from Sony and Original Film. With Neil H. Moritz as the producer, he did the Fast and Furious franchise. Now, we talked about this last episode, but there was going to be a potential Mike Flanagan movie that was going to be a reboot, so not a direct sequel. And so I guess Sony was like, you know what? We're going to follow Scream again. We're going to rip off Scream again, and we're going to do a direct sequel. So the actress who played Danica, her name is Madeline Klein. She said she channeled Lisa Rinna from The Real Housewives for her character's self-confidence. Rinna even sent her a surprise video message courtesy of Sarah Michelle Gellar in order to boost the vibe on set.
Oh, that's actually sweet.
Cute. I like Danica. I think she's probably my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah, I think she's given appropriate context for her behavior.
I feel like she's given more to say and do, if that makes sense. Like she had like actual moments that made me giggle.
Above Ava, I would say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say of the women, including the male characters, of all the characters, yeah. You're right. I agree.
I did like oh my god, the boy. The Barry
the
equivalent.
Boy.
What the did Barry. You Terry? Yeah. Terry. I did like he had some fun
Barry
moments.
And Terry.
I liked Terry and Danica. Camila Mendes. Speaking of Dune Revenge and also Riverdale.
So true.
She was originally going to play the main character of Ava. However, she was replaced by Chasu Wonders. I don't know if it was a time commitment thing or if she left the role or was replaced. I don't know the specifics.
I feel like besides Madeline Klein, I'm not really familiar with the credits of the other talent. And
I do. I know Milo.
Really?
Recently. So Milo played Prince Eric in The New Little Mermaid.
What?
Very good. He also was in the new Doctor Who series.
Oh,
he
so
played
he's
a
around.
Bad guy, which made me think that he might be a little suspicious in this movie. Originally, I was a little sus of him. He played this like incel guy who also had a podcast in Doctor Who.
Oh, man.
He was good. Man. He was probably the best part of the entire run
of Doctor Who,
of the Disney Plus Doctor Who,
The Disney Plus Doctor Who. Okay, yeah, I'm not really familiar with most of their credits, to be honest, but I feel like if she was there, she'd be significantly larger talent than everybody else in the pool, right? I mean, I can name credits.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely like. I feel like her face is more notable, probably, especially among younger people. Yeah. She probably would have brought in more younger audiences.
But I also feel that it, like, you know, I could see in tone a Riverdale comp. And that's probably why her name was she attached formally?
Yeah, there was like an announcement.
Oh my God. Okay. So I feel like I could see why her agents would be like, this is a good role for you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I could see why she might want to graduate.
Yeah.
I don't know what project she's working on right now, but
I don't know.
That's an interesting. Yeah.
Well, and then Chase Sue Wonders, like, she was in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
That's what I know her from.
Yeah. She looked familiar the entire time. I was like, where is she from? But she didn't get any of like the funny haha moments. That was mostly Danica.
True.
She was more of the quote unquote final girl.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I feel like Camilla would have been great too.
Yeah, it would have been a different character though. I feel the thing is like when we meet Ava, her first lines are like, I gotta get back with my high school ex. Oh man, does this movie look hot? Okay, I'm butchering the lines, but like that, but like that, those are the lines.
She tries a different outfit.
Yeah, she's trying different outfits on the mirror, and I just feel like if Camila Mendes was doing it, it would be a different vibe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Or when she's like hooking up with the podcaster at the hotel.
That also would be different.
At the airport, yeah. I'm honestly surprised they didn't have Ava's character, like Ava. I'm trying to think, does she even have an arc? Because she, I thought she was going to be like the quote unquote mess of the friend group.
Right. She's severely altered because of the events. Well, you know what's interesting is it felt like they were trying to signal that based on, you know, the whole thing. Where at first, she's kind of like goody two shoes. Like, I want to hook up with my ex from high school. Yeah. And then she's hooking up with someone like at an airport. I was a little confused.
Yeah, in the airport bathroom.
I was a little confused, like, what was going on. My first thought was like, is that work? Is she an actress or what's going
it
on?
It did look like that.
That's what I thought at first was going on. And like, because of their conversation in the bathroom after too, I was like, oh, they just work together. I was really confused until they kind of, and then they kept being like, oh, we met on the plane. And then I was like, oh no, literally they met on the plane. Yeah. Like that's, and then they hooked up. Mm-hmm. That was like, that's all that happened.
And then it didn't really lean into any conflict or between her and Milo. It just kind of was whatever.
Right.
Didn't really amount to much.
I'm not mad at a movie for trying to throw in some sex appeal, like, especially if it's horror, like, you know, but I do feel like it didn't make sense.
Like her doing all that?
Yeah, because it didn't really have to do with her character, right? No. That wasn't really a point.
No, that's why I'm
except
like...
Except to introduce Tyler, which they did, but whatever.
We start off with the new characters and getting to know them and everything, and then it just feels like it shifts focus to the older characters, or like they kind of start overshadowing a bit. Even though we're mostly focusing on the new guys, once we introduce the older characters from the previous movie, it just feels like any characterization we had of the new characters was thrown out the window.
I was surprised that we did spend so much time with the original characters because, like, I knew we were going to talk to Julie because they talk about her in the beginning. I didn't know we were going to see Ray. Obviously, I didn't know that we were going to see Helen. I felt like Helen's scene was fine. I felt like...
Oh, I thought it was so silly.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you mean?
The dialogue, the digital effects, just... Okay. It felt so forced.
But it was a dream. Like, I was okay with it because I was like, I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, I know this is not reality and she's like delusional or whatever, so it's okay. I felt like Ray, obviously I'm always happy to see Freddie Prinze Jr. I felt like it was too much, obviously.
Too much Ray.
Too much yes, Ray. I also felt like it was too much Julie. For example, I don't think we needed the scene where she's in her house and she gets notified that someone's in her backyard, and then, oh, they're at the front door, and da-da-da-da. And it's kind of unnecessary scares, but it's also like, this is... To me, obviously, giving more screen time to someone that is recognizable to fans and you know what you're doing, and I can recognize that. I don't know what to say about it. Like, it's just kind of like, that's not why I'm here, I guess. Maybe for some people it is why you're there.
As soon as, like, the murders start happening, it feels like they kind of just made these characters very generic.
Well, like, I kind of disagree with that. Not because I think they're not generic, but because I think they've always been generic.
I guess I enjoyed the little bits that we got of Ava and Danica.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. And, you know, I would even go so far as to say Stevie isn't necessarily...
We
haven't really acknowledged Stevie's existence.
And neither has the movie.
Yeah. I would go so far as to say that Stevie is... she's a little unconventional until... Now I'm going to say it. Stop watching now for real if you are going to watch the movie. Until you find out that she's the murderer and then or one of the murderers. And it's like, you know, it's like obviously they made the mentally ill addict girl crazy. Whose life is completely ruined. Oh, she's unstable. She's a killer.
She went to rehab.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was obviously a little reductive. You know, it happens in the 90s. You know what I mean? It's okay. Like, you know, it happens. to have something a little reductive, but we are in the year of our Lord 2025.
It did feel like a very old
and it felt
plot
like a,
point.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like a really
shocking.
Yes.
You're killing people that inadvertently killed her boyfriend. It's just like, I mean, we kind of like made fun of how convoluted the original one is, but at least you're
I didn't
like
even
kind of
follow this one. I'm gonna be honest, I did not follow. I felt like it was way too pinched in at that moment when they were explaining what the connection was. I saw the picture in the church, I got it, but when she's actually going through and being like, Sam was blah blah blah, blah, blah and Judah that, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
and okay. I don't know. Some people could be like, Sam, it's obvious. It's you're being stupid. And to that I say, I just want my Vietnam War vet. What can I say? That's what I'm here for. And I'm
read
not
the
I'm,
book
st-
to
I'm
understand
still not
what that
getting
means.
It. Yeah. I'm looking for something else and I didn't get it. So I'm not the target audience. To answer that question at the beginning, target audience, not me.
I mean, I had a feeling it was Stevie just because they barely like followed her
suspicious?
At all. She's just kind of there sometimes, and I was like, that's a little suspicious. But yeah, it's her character's interesting because yeah, we learned from the beginning that like she kind of got separated from her friend group and she went to rehab and her dad stole her college like a bunch of bad stuff happened to this lady.
She's taken in by Ray, a bartender.
Yeah,
now?
She works at his bar. And, yeah, the next year after the accident, she's really close with Danica. She kind of takes the friend role from Ava. She's, like, really close helping her with her bridal shower. I thought they were going to kind of lean into this idea that, like, oh, maybe Ava's a little jealous that Danica has a new friend. And maybe, I don't know. I thought
yeah, they didn't do that.
Played into that a little bit more, but.
Yeah, they did not. I agree with you. I thought that was going to be something and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to have any. And the thing also is Danica didn't really seem to care either. It's she has the line where she literally says, oh, Stevie's been a great friend to me for the last year. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing. And that, but as soon as they start getting in trouble, she immediately runs to Ava like it's nothing.
Yeah, they're friends again.
Like. Yeah, like none of it mattered. Also, all of these characters in archetypes are similar to the originals, except for Stevie. Stevie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Ava is Julie. Danica is Helen. Terry is Barry. What are you talking about? Terry is Barry. And Milo is Ray. They make up Stevie. Although one could make the argument that Stevie's kind of like Max, if you want. Kind of a social reject friend. You know what I mean?
But Max was never even a friend. He was just like
that's true.
There.
So Stevie's completely made up. And yeah. And you know what's funny? It's like because again, I thought this was a remake. So I come in and they're like introducing Ava, and I'm like, who is this?
Oh,
like
no.
why did they give Julie a new name, only to discover these are completely different people.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was going to talk about Terry. I was going to talk about Terry because I think it's worth noting that, because I said this in the last episode, Barry is rich and his parents are pro-war, question mark, in the book. And Terry is so wealthy. They say he has an empire. They say his family has an, that
Girl
is the
has
word.
Like a dungeon.
Yeah.
That was such a crazy set
Terry
piece.
And his family are the wealthiest people ever.
It's the real estate people.
Because they own the town.
Yeah.
Terry and Danica are engaged. And then Terry, like, goes off the rails and is like, I'm crazy now! Because he feels...
I'm gonna live on a boat.
He feels so much guilt.
I don't know how... what he feels.
right.
Well, I thought that he was... At first, I was like... Oh, his father maybe disowned him. That's why he's living on this boat. But then he's living on a boat on his dad's property that's
right.
attached
is,
to the dungeon.
Cool. He and his dad are fine.
Yeah.
But he called it off with Danica a month before the wedding or whatever. And then Danica within the next... So Danica gets engaged again. So let's say this is a two-month period.
In a few months afterwards.
So Danica gets engaged within 8 months of breaking off her engagement with Terry. Brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, they don't kill anybody. And I stand by that. What section are we in? I'm just getting into summary.
The research. Okay, who doesn't kill anybody?
I don't think the kids kill anybody.
Oh, right. Okay. You haven't even gotten to the accident.
You can make the argument that, oh, Terry was standing in the road. I don't think it's strong enough. In the original, they hit a kid and they keep driving. That's the kind of murder we're talking about. But because we wanted to make sympathetic main characters and like an attractive young cast, you know, we have to sympathize with them.
Yeah, because if you're not sympathizing with the victims in a slasher movie, then...
Right, then you have a problem.
That's kind of a problem. But so, if you have a suspenseful movie, you know, based on the original book, where it's these kids reconciling with the fact that they killed a child, then you don't need to feel bad for them.
I do think it's interesting how a lot of the books we read carry these pretty, I think, clear thematic undertones, you know, that are anti-war, that are about class consciousness, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at you, Jaws. I'm looking at I Know She Did Last Summer. And it's interesting to me. I'm reflecting. It's, what time is it?
12.
It's 12 a.m. and I just had Dave's hot chicken. It's interesting to me how many of these books carry these like strong themes that are not carried over. And I'm not focusing on the not carried over part. More so just like how often these things come up in horror. And like we've been new, obviously Rosemary's Baby also has a lot to say about that.
Horror's always been political.
Yes. The horror is the personal is political. The horror is political. The horrors are personal. The personal the are horrors.
The horrors are personal.
The horrors.
The personal
but,
is a horror.
The personal is a horror. But yeah, but this one is also a really big one for that. And you know what's interesting to me is, I'm going to bring this full circle. Terry, in his wealthiness, you know, part of the whole thing is we shouldn't sympathize with Barry. We shouldn't sympathize with any of the guys from the original or the girls from the original because from like the book, because they are well off, you know, young teenagers with a bright future ahead of them who are covering up a really bad thing they did. And it's okay to not like these rich kids. You know what I mean?
Because they did a bad thing. Yet I still liked them because they're interesting to read about.
Well, yeah, yes. But like, but the point is it's like, you're okay. Like, it's okay for them to get punished because they deserve to be punished for what they've done and what they continue to do. Whereas in this version, Terry is richer than anyone has ever been. And yet we are meant to sympathize with these characters because they're supposed to be the victims. And I think that's a complete warp of what this is supposed to be about. Anyway, that's just what I wanted to say about Terry, but let's keep going.
Yeah. Some other casting news that didn't actually come through. Lola Tung from The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Shut up.
Was also going to join the cast along with Nicholas Alexander Chavez from the Monsters Lyle and Eric Menendez story. The Ryan Murphy.
You know what's weird? I feel like I did know that.
Really?
That second one, yeah.
I thought I heard Lola Tung being in it, but apparently their scenes were cut from the film.
Oh, so they were in it, but then they cut the scenes?
Yep.
So I assume they just got rid of the characters and told.
Yeah, bummer. I mean, this movie like had a lot going on anyway, so it's not like we needed them. But still, I'm like, it would have been nice seeing a familiar face. At least it would have kept me entertained.
You don't think that any of the three original characters counts as a familiar face? Because I feel like they really did try to show you a familiar face, just in defense of the movie.
They really did. Really they hammered tried. It home. Yeah. Speaking of a familiar face, Jennifer Robinson said that she couldn't bring back Sarah Michelle Gellar's Helen Shivers back to life for the sequel, although she really tried. In a conversation with Entertainment Weekly, she said, quote, I tried, okay. I harassed her, but she's dead. I tried to pitch some crazy shit, too. I was like, what if? It's like you weren't dead and you're actually alive, but in hiding. And Sarah's like, I was on ice. I was the most dead a person could be.
That is true.
You could see my frozen body. I was like, yeah, but what if? And she said, I am dead. I am Sarah Dead Gellar.
That's funny. And you know what? I respect the hell out of Sarah.
She came back in a dream sequence. So
that's
she
got to be with,
in a movie with her husband.
Yeah, no. Good for Daphne. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Sarah.
That's all my research. Let's dive into the actual film.
Right, even though we haven't done that yet.
We have been doing that.
Yeah, let's continue.
Alrighty. As Sam has mentioned... The accident
continued to beat the horse.
The accident that these characters find themselves in is different in this version compared to all the other versions. While in the book and the 1997 film, the teens run over somebody. Instead, in this movie, we have a group that's messing around in the middle of the street. They're drunk. They're, you know, having fun. And they cause a car to swerve off a cliff. Interestingly, though, like the book, we do have a character call the cops to inform them of the accident. But they all decide to leave and make a pact never to tell anyone.
Hey, can I add something in here? Why does Sam grab Terry's shirt if it's never going to pay off?
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
I thought it was going to pay off. Why would he do that? Wait, was Sam...
Because he pulled the shirt off of him, so it's like...
It really seems like that's going to matter later.
Yeah, y'all need that. That's evidence.
Right, it's very obvious evidence that Terry is... at least present, if not responsible. But don't worry, the cops are all in on it, so it's okay.
Yeah, I wonder if they were like, we have to have a moment like when the killer grabs the crown. But then it's like, well, they're not going to go down there and get it, the shirt, so what's the point?
They could have, though, if they wanted to go that
it's
direction.
It's so much work going down a cliff.
I forgot how much work it is going down a cliff.
You have to like drive down to the beach and sometimes you can't find parking. Okay.
Still though, there's a car down there. They would have gone down there. Is it not a truck that's down there?
What are you talking about?
The truck that goes over. The truck have to... There's a whole truck down. You don't think they're going to come get that truck?
The cops?
Somebody.
Somebody obviously got the truck.
You know what?
And the
it's such a specific detail. I genuinely wonder if they actually had written in something
it
pays off in some way and they cut it. Because it's like so they show it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah. Also, in this version, we follow a group of young adults instead of a group of teens.
Yeah, what is that? What's up with that?
I don't know. They wanted to make it more adult, I guess.
But they don't kill anybody.
Really going back
to it. I cannot let go of this.
I mean, if he wasn't in the road, that guy would not have swerved and gone off a cliff.
He could have also, you know what would have been more interesting?
If he ran over Terry.
Yeah, no, I'm for real. That would Wouldn't that not have been really interesting?
But then they would be the victims.
That's
I mean,
okay.
They're already the victims.
They have
but
to be the victims.
But
they have to be.
Why
the
then? Why would they be attacked?
Because Terry was the first to go. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I don't. I don't know what this plot would be.
No, because Terry's the first to go. They're picking off all these annoying rich kids one by one, and Stevie survives. Complete flip on its head. Am I onto something or what? See, our one audience member thinks I'm onto something.
But it's called "I Know What You Did Last Summer." If they don't
do anything
bad,
who's the one who's trying to kill them? That's what we need to figure out. If we figure that out, who is it?
Who is you?
Who?
What is happening?
Okay. Audience member, you're on mute now. We need to figure out who the killer is. No, but I'm for real. If we figure out who the killer is and we can make this piece lock in, I really think like what a 180 opposite of the current storyline makes sense.
I don't think
they
it
don't
makes
kill
sense.
Anybody in this version.
They caused someone to die.
They don't kill him.
Oh, my God.
They run somebody over in both versions.
If they weren't messing around, that guy would still be alive.
Okay, but it's a hit and run in the other versions.
Yeah, they cause him to swerve and then they run. It's a swerve and run.
Okay, but he doesn't even, like, go over. Like, he could, like, I mean, he does go over. But, like, he could have gotten out.
It was like leaning off the precipice.
I still feel like, no, I don't think it counts. And I think they make it so blurry on purpose so that we don't hate them.
Yeah. I thought.
What do you think? What is making you laugh?
It's your version of this called "You Know What I Did Last."
Wait. No, we're on to something.
We're not.
Should we
we're
write
really
this?
Not.
Should
no.
we write this?
No.
You Know What I Did Last Summer. That's my non-spoiler review. You Know What I Did Last Summer. That's really funny.
I like this twist of events. I think if they did another hit and run situation, I would have been like bored. I was surprised that this is how it unfolded, and I liked being surprised in a franchise where it's been the same thing over and over again.
Disagree. Because the stakes aren't there.
The stakes weren't there in that one. I mean, yeah.
I'm not gonna argue about that, but I am gonna say that in the book, the stakes are there.
Of course. When I think of this movie, I'm not even, the book is just not even in my mind, which I know it should be, because that's the point of this podcast.
You guys hear this or what?
You guys hear this, girl? On another, we're hyping up this book so much.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is also what I did with Jaws.
Compared to these, I read Jaws
and I was like, okay. And then I saw the movie and I was like, they're missing all of this stuff. And then I like loved the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, everyone in the book and the OG film gets messages from the stalker, while only two characters do in this.
Yeah, Danica.
We need more creepy messages.
Yeah, Danica's the one who gets the letter. You know what, though? Props to the movie. I actually do think the way that Danica receives the letter is creative.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was a trailer moment of her at the bridal shower, and then she gets the note.
That makes sense. It's a good moment because it's in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, that...
She's like, no pictures.
What's her name, Jennifer?
Jennifer Robinson.
Jennifer?
Good job. Nailed it. So Julie and Ray are characters in both the book and the 1997 film, and they play big roles in this film. We learn that apparently... I've already talked about this. I'm going to hammer it home because it's dumb. We learn that apparently... This is my thing. Your thing is the accident and how they didn't actually kill anyone. Yeah. This is my thing.
Yeah.
We learn that apparently between films, these characters eventually gave all their info about their accident and their involvement, including statements and the original creepy note. Who did they give this to? The cops? Did they put it on the internet? How do they still have jobs?
This is your thing.
This is odd, since they agreed not to say a thing at the end of the 1997 film, because how else would the podcaster know about all this and have the articles to back up what she's saying? And did Ray and Julie face any consequences for their actions? But Julie and Ray in the book do agree to tell the cops. So, similar to the book, did they take anything from the book for this movie?
No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Well, no, I'm going to give it the old college try. Like, anything that's in the book that's not in the 1997 movie?
I don't know. I'm wondering if they even thought about the book when they were doing this.
I'm telling you, I think it's what we talked about with the Halloween thing, where it's like, what do people remember? And, you know, no one's going to remember what's in the book.
True.
Except
most people don't even know it's based off a book.
True. So it's what do you remember from the original movie? Oh, okay. Is there anything in the 2025 version that's in the book? The note.
The note, Elsa.
That's...
Elsa.
Elsa's in the 20.
Yeah.
No, but Elsa's. Elsa's in the movie.
Elsa's in the movie.
Oh, but you're. Oh, you know. But my question was, what's also in the book? Okay, you're right. Elsa. Elsa's existence.
Elsa exists in this universe. Yeah. Ray and Julie. Helen.
Their existence.
Barry Cox.
The existence of the main characters. The note.
Yeah.
That's it. Am I right? Is there anything...
4th of July.
4th of July. Is there anything else in this movie that is in the book that isn't also in the 1997 movie?
Nope. But yeah, it's... Because it's like Candyman, the sequel, the Jordan Peele one, was not based on the book at all.
I feel like... Well, that's true, but I feel like... Oh, I will say, like... Okay, I guess this is a different point to argue, but I do feel like in Candyman, the Jordan Peele version... The Nia DaCosta, right? Mm-hmm. I do feel that it stands alone.
It is more of a standalone than this.
This one is like, if you don't know who these people, and by the way, like, first of all, what's her name? Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Looks great.
Yeah.
Looks exactly the same for some reason. barely recognized Ray. I'm going to be real. I
looks very different, yeah.
Freddie, you kind of look like a different person. It's not your fault or any. Obviously, people age. I'm not coming. Same thing with
Julie. Still look great.
You guys look, great. But, like, I didn't quite recognize you upon first glance. People change.
People change.
That's my non-spoiler review. People change.
And that is Ray's whole thing in this movie.
People
that's
change.
That's his theme. That's his arc.
Sometimes for the worse.
Yeah, literally. Speaking of Ray, he ends up owning a bar in Southport.
Which is on a boat, question mark? Or is it like on the dock?
It's on the dock.
Why is it like boat themed? Isn't it like the interior?
Everything's boat themed in this town.
We're in boat town. We're in
boat town.
Boat town.
Boat port. So Ray, that's what he does. Julie, she's a professor, loves screaming in her classroom.
Oh, yeah. Her intro scene.
It's wild.
It was just one of those things where if you don't know who she is, you're not going to understand what's going on. Like, my boyfriend was sitting there and he was like, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
I also, for a second, was like, what? And then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. She doesn't have those stringy bangs in this one.
I liked her bangs. You don't like her bangs?
No. Not in the OG one, no.
Wow. A-tier criticism here.
Not a fan of the stringy bangs. So apparently Ray and Julie, they were married at one point, but they got divorced.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
They seem like they really don't like each other. And I want to know what happened to these people.
We need a movie just about Ray and Julie's relationship.
We don't. We can stop it here.
Sony, listen to me.
We can stop this franchise. As we mentioned, Ray is also the boss of Stevie, who is, I guess, a part of the group. Kind of.
Yeah, I was just confused. Did they kick her out because she wasn't rich anymore? That seems like what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. She has this whole villain monologue about how her friends abandoned her.
And then her dad ran off with all her college fund.
Yeah, and I don't know why they abandoned her. I mean, it's just like teen friendships.
Oh, and
dissolve.
Who do we have here?
Oh, hi.
Oh.
We have a friend on the pod, special guest.
Yeah. Hey.
Mike.
What do you think of I Know What You Did Last Summer?
What are your thoughts? Anyway, I bring up Ray and Julie and what they're doing because we don't know what happened to them in the book. It's just kind of a fade to black.
We don't really need to.
No.
Well, we do find out that they tell the police everything.
Yeah. But that's it. Or that they're planning to.
But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a conclusion to the story that we need to know
about
them.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
Fun little big Easter egg, not even a little Easter egg. The parade float from the OG film is spotted in this one.
True.
Did you see it in this movie? I bet you didn't.
What? What are you talking about? It's like it's the focal piece.
I know.
Sorry, what time is it again? Can we just get a time check right now? Oh, it's 12:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, this garage, this parade float is in a random garage near the cemetery.
But not a random one. It's Ray's. Where he keeps it. Isn't it Ray's?
I don't know. They'd have like, she's running from the killer and then ends up in this garage.
I literally just assumed it was Ray's. I was just like, he would keep that. I don't know. Like, that's just what
why
I thought it was.
You?
No, but now that I'm... No, you're right, though. Now that I'm saying it out loud, why would that be Ray's? But it's a callback for the OGs.
Yeah. I-N-W-U-D-L-S stands.
What did you just say?
I'm trying to shorten it.
I-K-W.
I know stands.
What?
What are I Know What You Did Last Summer fans called?
Oh, I get it now. Okay, I was confused. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next point.
A little red herring for y'all. We are led to believe that the killer is a priest who was the older brother of the victim.
That's who he was?
Yeah, he's the older brother.
Okay, I must have missed that line because I did not understand the connection between the victim and the priest.
Yeah, he had like that little book.
But I guess it does make sense why... Wait. No, yeah. Okay, yeah.
This is kind of similar to the book where the older half-brother of the victim was the killer.
The older half brother
of the victim in the book ended up being the killer. Wait, did what I say make sense to you?
What did you say?
This is a weird connection that's probably not related. We are led to believe that the killer of the film is the priest.
I can't look at you two. Is
the old the priest is the older brother. He was right here. Right here. you see that Markiplier video where he's like trying to get the attention? It's a TikTok sound. Anyway, the priest and the older brother walk into a bar. The priest is the older brother of the victim.
A priest and an older brother walk into a bar.
For a minute, our characters think that the priest is the killer because he's being real shady. However, this is a red herring. But in the book, it's not a red herring because the older brother of the victim does end up being the killer.
No, I get what you're saying. Okay. That's what you were explaining. I understood that the first time.
My stomach hurts.
Okay, where were we?
We're moving on from that. The steam room.
Oh, yeah.
The steam room scene.
No, you're right. You're right.
Well, about what?
I didn't even recognize it. Parallel.
Yeah. Was it intentional? Probably not. But I was there in the theater writing notes.
Don't sell them short.
Okay.
I bet they watched that movie like 20 times.
No, the book. Parallel to the book.
Steam room.
Oh, you're talking about I thought you were talking about the last thing I was talking about.
Oh, no. I was talking about the shower.
Okay, so yeah, the steam
room.
We're
on the same page.
Okay, we're moving on from the priest. Steam room scene in the OG movie, which actually ends up being a dream sequence, according to the 1998 film. But in that scene, we have Julie going into the school showers. She sees a note written on the door, jump scare of the killer. So the shower scene from the 1997 one, they kind of, oh my God. You know what I'm trying to say? You want to finish my sentence?
Yeah,
for me?
So the shower scene in the 1997 one has steam in it, and there's a steam room in the new one.
Yeah.
Right?
And that has to be intentional.
Right? I'm pretty sure.
Both Julie and Terry have received notes written on the door. It's written in steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Written on a steamy door. Anyway.
I thought we would talk about differences. We talk about similarities, too.
I was just pointing out anything.
Does anything that comes to mind? I guess that is what we do. Horror fans be like.
You notice the steam? Pretty sick. Helen Shivers, also a character in the book, named Helen Rivers. She shows up in this movie in a dream sequence. We dove into her character a lot last episode, but basically in the book, she is not a pageant queen or a wannabe actress. Instead, she grew up poor, but used her looks to gain a job as the Channel 5 future star. And I put 3 exclamation points because I just think it's a weird name for a job. And that's the Helen of the book. True. Helen of the 1997 film and subsequently this film. She is a former pageant queen, went to New York for like 3 months to be an actress, didn't work out, so she came back to work at her parents' store. Unlike the book and the original film, but like the sequel, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, we have 2 killers. Stevie, who was the girlfriend of the guy that they killed.
Yeah.
And Ray. He is another killer. His motive is that trauma changes people, I guess, and he blames the group for ruining Stevie's life.
Insane. Also,
dumb. Bad. I hate what they did with Ray's character. I hate it so much.
Don't you think that Stevie would have recognized that her boyfriend went over the...
Well, he was driving someone else's car, right?
Still, don't you think she would have been like... It's still her... Like, she still knows that guy, too.
Yeah, who was I don't remember. He was driving someone else's car. Judas was the priest.
Yes.
His name is Judas?
No, Judah.
Judah, okay.
And so
priest named Judas is crazy.
No, okay, but regardless of whether it was her boyfriend or Judah, she would have intimately known the person that was in that car.
Especially because the car didn't go overboard quickly.
Right. It's not like she was, it was like, whoop. It stopped. And she didn't seem to have any particular feelings about it at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stevie, you're not allowed to feel sad.
I honestly feel like it would have been, this is my next pitch. Besides,
I did
last summer. My next one is, Stevie should have just never gone with them. That way it would make more sense. Then she finds out, same thing as the book. She finds out about the death after the fact, significantly after the fact. And that gives her an actual reason. It's like, then it's like, okay, yeah, not only are you rich friends who suck, who abandoned me, also you murdered the person who was closest to me when I wasn't around or whatever, or maybe even when I was like serving your wedding party or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more there in terms of like grit as opposed to
like her she's being trying to there. Get closer to Danica. Like, maybe all of a sudden she's trying exactly. to get into Danica's life.
And, you know, and suddenly we have a parallel to the book of Collie. Mm-hmm. But for real, like, doesn't that just like make more sense?
Mm-hmm. But I did kind of like when Ava. At the end, when Stevie reveals who she is, when she's like, you were there too, Ava, and you didn't have a problem leaving the scene. Or you were there too, Stevie. Yeah, you didn't have a problem leaving and making a pact or whatever. Well, yeah, I liked that moment.
I can buy that she doesn't know her boyfriend is driving. I cannot buy that she doesn't recognize her boyfriend's brother's car.
Maybe a lot of people have that car.
They don't. They say that it's like a vintage truck.
You're so right.
Yeah, this is like a really specific truck.
Huh.
That she should know whose car it is, even if she doesn't know that her boyfriend's driving it. And I know why they did this. It's because we can't have Stevie react, because then we know that Stevie is the killer.
If we had a character that just showed up in Danica's life and was super friendly, we would know, like, oh, she's out of the norm. I feel like she'd be even more obvious. Either way, don't like either killers. I don't like what they did with Ray. I like him being the, you know, level-headed character in both the film and the book.
He's like more than level-headed. He's like a guiding.
He's guilty. Figure. He wants to go to the cops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like how they butchered this character, to be honest. I think him doing all this for one of his employees.
Right, because wild. That is what their relationship is. It's
at first I thought she was his daughter.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. That would have made more sense. That would have been a parallel to Ben Wilson doing what he did for his daughter.
Yeah. It's true. That would have made a lot of sense and have been a connection to the 1997 movie.
Yeah.
Folks.
Here's another connection to the 1997 movie. The Billy Blue sign is spotted in Ray's bar.
Oh.
Did you notice that?
I did not. Oh. I don't think it impacts me in any way that I did not notice that.
I was just like, oh, I know that. Clopped. That's the name of Ray's boat from the first film and also his fake name that he used to get to know the victim's sister from the first movie. Julie also says her iconic line, "What are you waiting for?" from the first movie in this one. She, like, whispers it to...
She has the 180 opposite emotional reaction that she does in this movie. She was like, a kid's not directing me this time.
Yeah. I'm not going to be spinning in circles. Lastly, Brandy shows up in the mid-credit scene. As I mentioned, she is Julie's college roommate and a friend from the sequel film, which makes that one officially canon. So that means Ben Willis does have a son, and he did kill his wife. We have to accept that as canon, although the podcaster never mentioned it. Those are all my notes. Anything else you want to dive into about this film?
Yeah, I said this off camera already, but I do want to point out that the moment that the podcaster says, "It's you," to the killer, reveals who the killer is, and this happens, I want to say, 20 minutes into the movie.
I didn't think it was going to be one of the OGs.
Well, I just thought, well, I thought it was going to be Milo or one of the OGs.
I thought it was going to be Milo.
Because I was like, the only people she knows are Ava and Milo. Mm-hmm. So it's either Milo or someone that this podcaster knows about. Yeah. And that's who it, obviously. And then you find out that Milo dies. Oh, it has to be Ray.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Milo's not dead. Yeah, he's maybe like,
he's the first to die, technically.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be a fake out. I thought it was going to be a fake out. I thought he was going to be one of the killers. Maybe it's because I'm biased since he played a bad guy in Doctor Who. It was already in my brain that, like, don't trust this guy.
Right. don't trust this man.
Yeah. Okay. But we both knew it was Stevie.
Well, yeah.
Early
yeah.
on. Okay.
I felt like knowing it was two killers also, that became obvious to me the moment that Ray goes to see Julie. Because I was like, I know that it's Ray. But now he has an alibi. Who's the other one? Okay, who could Ray do this with? Must be his employee. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like boom, boom, boom. It's not really shrouded in mystery.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
That's I Know What You Did Last Summer 2025.
Should we say something we liked about it?
I liked some of the comedy. I was giggling a little bit. Oh my God, the ending. We didn't talk about how bad that ending is.
Wait, what's the ending?
Oh my God. So Danica.
Oh, Danica survived.
Danica survives somehow, even though she flips off a boat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we need to talk about this. I forgot about this. Okay, so we're just going to skip the reveal. Stevie's like, I did this because I'm upset. Yeah. And also Ray shoots Stevie.
And she flips off the boat, which like, how did she, they say that she survived. How did she survive? She got run over by a boat.
She got shot and run over by a boat. In the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. So anyway, so Danica awakens. Danica gets hooked, right? Wait, what happens to Danica? She's on the boat. She gets
thrown overboard, but I don't remember what.
No, but something, she gets injured.
Yeah.
Anyway, she gets injured. She gets thrown overboard. Somehow she survives. She's in perfect condition when she washes upon the shore.
She's a mermaid.
She's a mermaid. And then she and Ava walk around in the hospital together. Then they go to the beach. You know what, though? Actually,
they're like, okay, the way they're talking, though, feels so improvised. They're like, I'm kind of hungry. Like, they're acting so weird.
This is actually, hang on. I'm going to disagree with you here. I do agree. A lot of the lines were absolutely bizarre in this scene. However, I did really like the part where they're like, Stevie's alive.
Should we go kill her?
And I was like, actually, that's funny.
But ending off a movie like that is so bizarre.
Well, it was weird to me. Like, also it was just kind of weird because, and this is something that my boyfriend brought up to me, which is like, so there's this weird like lacing in, first of all, of TikTokology, TikTok etymology. You know, every time Danica says diva or, you know, whatever slang she decides to co-op in the movie. Also, TikTok ideology. I shouldn't say TikTok ideology, but like TikTokified ideology. You know, the sound bites that are pretty popular, like men should go to therapy and women empowerment, girl boss, et cetera, et cetera. And so obviously Stevie repeats a lot of this rhetoric, and she says her whole thing about like women empowerment, being an independent woman, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's weird. And but you know, I think that's the point of having her say that. But then at the end, Ava's talking to Danica at the beach, and she's like, you know what's crazy is this could have all been avoided if men just went to therapy. I thought this was a really weird line.
That was so out of pocket.
Because one of the murderers is Stevie.
Yeah.
Like, the point is, oh, if Ray had gone to therapy, trauma might not have affected him so much. I know what they're going for, but it just felt to me like a, you know what I'm saying?
Did she not also go to therapy, Stevie?
Right. Didn't
so obviously
talk
that
about
didn't
that?
Yeah. Work for her.
It's just kind of a weird thing to throw in there, I think. And I think it's supposed to illustrate like a candid conversation between two young women or whatever. And it's like, okay, I'll give you that. But I also just felt like it was not what would have avoided everything.
No.
And it was a weird way. I agreed to end the movie on that note.
It's just a lot, like, a lot of their lines were so weird. It felt so different from the rest of the film. And that's just how it ended. It's just a slow zoom out over this, like, beach brunch place. And it's just like, they're just talking, and then that's how it ends. And then we see shots of the ocean, and then Brandy, and then that's, yeah.
Now, the shots of the ocean is a call back to the original, right?
Yeah, they're nice, yeah. But it's just like, this is how we're ending with these characters?
Yeah, sure.
Weird. Whatever. I didn't like them. And I was like, it was a pretty mid movie for most of it, and then that, like, made it worse. That ending just totally, like, made me mad. Do you have a preference for, I'm going to say book versus films. You can book. Think. Okay. I'm agree. I'm agree.
Okay, great. Easy.
This versus that. Ray versus book versus Ray versus, wait.
Book Ray.
Book Ray over movie Ray.
Either movie Ray.
Okay, so.
Book Ray.
Book Ray.
Book Ray is a good character.
Okay, yes.
He's interesting.
I agree. I agree. All the book characters are more interesting, yeah.
Runner-up, 1997 Ray.
Yeah.
And falling then this in last one is 2025 Ray.
Yeah. Agree. Stevie versus Ben Willis versus Collingsworth.
Collingsworth. Wait, in a fight?
No. No.
No, in a fight, listen.
In a fight,
it goes, Stevie's losing, obviously, immediately. Stevie is losing because Stevie doesn't have a gun. Have we not gone over this? Collingsworth has a gun. At least taking it. That's how Stevie is taken out in the movie. By a gun.
True.
So, goodbye, Stevie. Next.
I guess we haven't mentioned that Collingsworth is the killer of the book. Watch last episode.
Yeah, watch that. If you're here, what are you doing here if you haven't listened to the last episode? Anyway, so now it's Ben versus Collingsworth. And yeah. Hey, you gotta go back to the last episode.
Yeah.
Collingsworth has a gun. Ben doesn't have a gun.
Yeah. I guess they all lose because Collingsworth has a gun.
Collingsworth has a gun and he makes uses him a little OP. Yeah.
All right, last one. Dreadful Digest versus Live, Laugh, Slaughter.
Vote in the comments.
This is for all of you.
But hers is a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
So obviously us, because we aren't exploiting real people.
True.
Is that fair to say?
True.
Not that I'm anti-true crime. I love true crime. What can I say? Guilty pleasure. But
we did do a Dahmer episode, but
I wasn't on that. I don't know anything about that. So
there's an I Know What You Did Last Summer TV series. I just found out about this. It's on Amazon Prime. It only lasted for one season. And I could only get through three episodes before I just couldn't do it anymore. I was over it. I was summered out, like I said. Summered out. The only thing that did interest me was the accident. It involves a twin running over her own twin and having to take on that twin's identity.
What?
Sounds fun, right?
That's insane.
I thought it was cool.
And it harkens back to the book about the two person, one person. You know what
Ben
I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Yes.
Bud and Collingsworth?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they, yeah.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Parallels, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she takes on her twin's identity because her friends in her car think that she's like the badass twin, the cool twin that they're friends with. And they think they ran over the nerdy twin. In reality, she's the nerdy twin who ran over her badass twin.
Sick.
So she has to take on that twin's identity.
Who plays this twin?
I don't know. Blonde girl with a bob.
Okay.
Meanwhile, she reveals all this to her dad. She spills the beans. So her dad is in on it just so his daughter doesn't have to go to jail or juvie. No, they're adults, so jail. That's kind of all I liked. This show's dialogue was so insufferable.
How so?
It's just Gen Z dialogue where they're trying really hard.
For our audio listeners, those quote, their Gen heads Z had air quotes.
Adult, or like, we're adults. Older adults writing Gen Z dialogue. Never a good thing. And yeah, besides a few good gory kills and that initial hook of the accident being a bit different, there was nothing else that made me want to continue with it.
How is that even possible? Like so there's fully another person missing.
So they see her... the twin, like, walking on the side of the road. She's intoxicated, I believe. Yeah. And they accidentally run into her. But she's wearing the other twins' usual fit. So they kind of like swap some articles of clothes.
I get that part. It's okay. I get that part. What's I don't the get question? The part of like for extended periods of time afterwards. Do they not? They don't know that this other twin is dead?
No, they do. They leave her in a cave. They take the corpse and leave her in a cave.
Okay, yeah. So they hide the body. But you said that the twin, the nerdy twin, has to keep up appearances that she's both, right?
No, she just... They say that the nerdy twin is missing. That
she's the cool twin, you're saying. She just has to pretend now that she has a different identity.
Yeah, they said the nerdy twin ran away and that she's now playing the hot, cool twin.
The hot... So if you... It's played by the same person, right? So when you say the hot twin, you're talking about...
Everyone else thinks she's hot.
Hey, just clarifying. Okay.
And then... And then they're like, oh, the nerdy twin unalived herself. And so she's fully taking on the persona of the hot twin.
Okay. Wait, what is this on?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Heard it here first. I kind of do remember this. I have a vague memory of this.
I like remember it coming out. I didn't hear anyone talking about it. So Shout out. Next episode... Gonna be covering Annihilation with a special guest, so make sure to check out the book. It's really short. Watch the movie, and yeah, follow us on at Dreadful Digest Pod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and we'll see you next time. Hopefully, with Sam's this versus that.
Oh my gosh,
she's gonna think about
you guys.
You're gonna think about it.
She'll next have episode I'm on
months to think about
it's
it.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah, be there. Or be
and
square.
We're gonna have a tally.
Yes, we. I'm bringing tally. That. Alrighty. Bye. Good night. If you're watching it at night.
Good night or good morning.